This is a foreign topic to plenty of our listeners, I'm sure. I just want to start it off. What are esports?
That's a very good question. Esports refers to competitive video gaming, and not necessarily what, like, for example, parents' kids say they're doing at like 9 o'clock at night when they're supposed to be doing homework. But these are professional athletes. They're given P1 visas from the United States government to come compete in America and play these video games for a living. And they have housing paid for them. They have nutritionists and workout experts make a routine for them so their bodies can be as fit as their minds. They have sports psychologists. They have all these things that normal teams in other more traditional sports do have. But instead of sinking hours into the court, they sink hours and hours into the game, into video games.
What are some of these workouts that they do? What goes into preparation and goes into getting ready for game day?
Well, when it comes to getting ready for game day, I know a lot of teams do team exercises. They'll go jogging, they'll play basketball, they'll do yoga. But it's somewhat limited in terms of physical because the game is mostly mental. When it comes to professional video gaming, it's not just about how quick your reflexes are, like how, you know, Twitch-based shooting games. They are popular esports such as Counter-Strike, but the majority of the game is all mental. What you expect the other team to do and how you're going to react to it. It's a lot of talking and discussing as a team about your strengths and then trying to plan out what you're going to be doing against different looks that your enemy gives you. It's kind of like football in a sense, where the offense might give you a bunch of different looks and you might watch film from a week ago, and then they come into the game and they're showing you completely different reads. So you have to be able to adapt on the fly.
Now, I know that one of the biggest esports, I think the one that our listeners might be most familiar with, actually our very own Scott Pola here at WKR did a feature on it actually pretty recently. But it's League of Legends. What's League of Legends? How do you play? And what are the rules for getting in there? And is it a competitive game? Is it going head-to-head against other teams?
Oh, yeah, for sure. League of Legends works like this. It's a 5-on-5 game, 5 players on each side, 2 teams, and the object of the game is to destroy your enemy's base, or Nexus, right? Mm-hmm. To do that, each team takes turn drafting champions that they can play. Each of the champions has unique abilities, strengths, and weaknesses. They can be played in 5 different roles, and there's a roster of over 125 at this point. I don't know the exact number off the top of my head. 2 were just released recently, and they're pretty good. And there are more champions being added and champions being reworked that were older, you know, given new abilities, new looks, fresh makeovers every couple of months or so. The way the game is competitive is not only that you have to be able to draft a better team composition than your other team and pick better champions that will be able to better articulate or complement the way you want to play the game, but you then also have to get in the game and actually play it, right?
Yep.
It's a little like playing pickup basketball. If you knew all the pieces and if you knew all the players and there are 125 of them, if that makes sense.
No, absolutely. So, what's the atmosphere at most of these events?
Oh, the events get insanely hyped. Most recently, I think the biggest international League of Legends event was MSI, the Midseason Invitational, which is an international tournament pitting the number one team from each region in the spring split against each other, and the crowd at Brazil was insane. Raucous energy. The crowds were hyped for everything, even when the Brazilian team, the hometown team, got eliminated. These events are very much, not only like are they highly populated live, but there's also a lot of online traffic. I've actually got some numbers I'm going to spit at you, if you don't mind, real quick.
Absolutely.
Because I kind of want some of the listeners here to understand what the kind of scope that we're dealing with here. Esports might seem like a very niche product, and it has been for a while, but it's starting to get mainstream levels of popularity. Last year, in the 2016 League of Legends World Championships, there are over 370 million total hours of live esports content viewed across all the viewers. Right, which blows my mind. And then, if you can choose to believe this, about 396 million total cumulative daily unique impressions. And what that means is that 396 million unique viewers tuned in to the League of Legends World Championships at some point over its 15-day run.
So we're essentially saying that 396 computers logged on to check out something esports related.
Oh yeah, for sure. And this isn't just like people watching in their basements or on their phones by themselves. I went to a bar to watch the finals. I watched it with, like, I think there were like 50 other people with me in there, but it was like a traditional sports event. It was like watching the Super Bowl. It was an amazingly hyped atmosphere. The fan base is rabid for this kind of gameplay because not only is League of Legends a fun game in terms of watching competitive, like two competitors come at each other, but it's free to play. It's absolutely free to go download the game right now. Now, that being said, it takes a lot of time to get into, mm-hmm. right? And just like basketball, just like other traditional sports, you are only as good as how much effort you put into improving, right? And so that's why esports has really become popular with the League of Legends crowd, because you can watch somebody play and you can look at what they do and say, I can do that. And then you get that desire to go practice in the training mode, right? And then you go play online, you win some games, and then you get that feeling, you get hooked on that competitive feeling of like, oh boy, I'm winning a lot. I got to keep going. I want to be the best. And so that's what really appeals to people.
Definitely. We're chatting with Noah Walter, esports writer for RotoWire and ESPN. Noah, I want to continue along this line of esports as compared to traditional sports, ones you think of, like you said, basketball, football, baseball. I know a lot of people are out there thinking, my son suffered a concussion last year, you know, and my son sweats on hours on end and all of that at basketball practice. I don't think I'm pulling anything, you know, out of the hat when I say a lot of people probably wonder about how these things stack up to regular traditional athletics. Why are esports sports?
Well, okay. So this is the $1 million, the buzzword question, the one that gets everybody all upset online, right? And I'm going to be honest here. I think there is a major difference between esports and regular sports in that esports requires ridiculous amounts of dedication to a game that is very changeable and very tenuous, right? Let me indulge you in a hypothetical real quick. What if Adam Silver came out and said, hey, by the way, next year dunks are worth 1 point. We're introducing a 4-point line that's going to be 35 feet out. And everybody from, let's say, Serbia, you can only have two Serbians per team or something ridiculous, right? Like these rules that change the makeup of the game and change essentially the meta of the game, how the game is played. This happens once every 2 weeks, not 2 weeks, once every like maybe 3 to 4 weeks. Wow. In professional League of Legends. The rules of the game change. Certain things become stronger. Certain things get weaker. And then teams have to be able to adapt on the fly. So you can't just do the same thing over and over again for a year straight, right?
Yeah. So then even the training regimen changes for these guys, I'd assume, huh?
Oh, my God, yeah. So for most teams on a professional level, at least in North America, which is where I have the most amount of exposure in a kind of behind-the-scenes term, most of these teams are practicing 12 hours a day.
Wow.
The players wake up, they eat the breakfast that their dietitian or their chef's prepared for them. They then go to their practice space and they start scrimmages against other teams. They do that for a couple of hours, like maybe 2 to 3 hours. They then take a lunch break. They then look over those scrims and watch videos of their opponents for that week. And then they go back to scrimmaging and then they watch videos of that. And then they go home and then they practice on their own, because playing in a team dynamic and just practicing your individual mechanics are two completely different things. I think one of the best League of Legends players ever, a Korean named Apto, who will never see the competitive scene, but has an insanely good mind for the game, said that competitive League of Legends and solo queue, which is where the common rabble plays, I guess, in a kind of demeaning tone, those are completely different games except for the map you play on and the champions you can pick, right?
Uh-huh.
There's so much communication and there's so much precision that goes on in competitive games that you have to be in sync with all the rest of your teammates, but it's difficult to practice that and be able to learn how to be more proficient at your individual gameplay. So you have to separate those times so the players can get maximum growth in both areas.
Absolutely. We're chatting with Noah Walter right now, esports writer for ESPN and RotoWire. Noah, I want to touch on some of the good traits that make up an esports player. I'd imagine mental acuity and a little bit of fast twitch muscle movement would always help. But what really goes into these guys becoming some of the best in the world and the highest paid in the world?
Well, having good reflexes is obviously going to be one of them. If you have good mechanics, you can usually fight your way out of bad situations. But what makes a truly good player is your mental game, right? I think currently the best player in the world of League of Legends is this guy named Faker. ESPN has done multiple articles about him. He's the Michael Jordan of League of Legends. Nobody will touch him. Nobody can touch him right now. Like when you talk about basketball, you say, who's the best of all time? Is it LeBron? Is it MJ? Is it Kobe? There's multiple names in discussion.
It's not Kobe, but yeah, continue.
Okay. All right. But when you talk about League of Legends, the names that come up are Faker and nobody else. How dare you insult Faker like that? Mm-hmm. Faker is the best player in the world, not necessarily because he has the craziest mechanics, but because he's one of the most intelligent players in the game. He knows how to get the most out of every situation. He knows how to maximize advantages for his team without overextending, without risking too much things. And that's why he's been able to win so many world championships, 3 world championships out of the 7 years that this game has been running competitively.
Wow.
So when you're looking for traits in an esports player, you want decision making. You're looking for like instincts. How good are they at knowing when they should be going in and or not? How good they are mechanically, and then most importantly, how quickly they're able to adapt. Because as I mentioned earlier, the popular champions change. The power picks that you might have relied on a week ago might not be as powerful the next week. So you have to be able to learn how to play multiple different play styles, different champions with different move sets on the fly. And so when you're looking at great players, it's all about adaptability.
Definitely. No, just a couple more questions for you, actually. First of all, what drew you to esports?
Well, I used to play traditional sports, but I was never too good at them. Not necessarily because I wasn't athletic, although, to be honest, you look at some of the people who are playing today, and it's like, I could never do that. But I always, after a while, the game kind of got stale for me, right? Mm-hmm. But when it came to video games, the game kept changing. And so that's what instantly hooked me. And being a lifelong gamer myself, I thought, well, you know, competitive and then video games, that's a great combination. Let's try this out. And so that's how I started to get into it in high school. And then as I got more into the scene, I realized that the scene was about to explode. The bubble was expanding slowly but surely. So I started trying to get it on the ground level and then got a job at RotoWire. And then the rest is history, right?
Yep. All right. And then last question for you, Noah. I read an article recently, actually, on ESPN about esports being in the 2020 Olympics. How realistic is this of a possibility?
Well, I'd like to imagine it's a realistic possibility because esports is a global game. Video games, the video games that the people are playing, like League of Legends, like Counter-Strike, like Dota 2, are the same across every major region in the world, meaning that you're playing the exact same game as somebody in Korea, as somebody in China, as somebody in Iran, as somebody in London. So if on an Olympic level, there are enough countries that can field a team of 5 players to represent their home nation, mm-hmm. I'm all for it. I can understand if people might be upset with that. I can understand if people might be against that. But I think the Olympics aren't necessarily about sports. They're about competition. And right now, the future of competition looks bright in esports.
Absolutely. Noah Walter, esports writer for RotoWire and ESPN. Noah, thanks so much for being on. We'll have to have you on again soon.
Thank you, Isaac. It's been a pleasure.